Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Translation. Maharaj Parikshit, after having selected Kripacharya for guidance as the spiritual master, performed 3 horse sacrifices on the banks of the Ganges. These were executed with sufficient rewards for the attendants. And at these sacrifices, even the common men could see demigods. Purport. It appears from this verse that interplanetary travel by the denizens of higher planets is easy. In many statements in Bhagavatam, we have observed that the demigods from heaven used to visit this earth to attend sacrifices performed by the influential kings and emperors. Herein also we find that during the time of the horse sacrifice ceremony of Maharaj Parikshit, the demigods from other planets were visible even to the common man due to the sacrificial ceremony. The demigods are not generally visible to common man, as the Lord is not visible. But as the Lord, by His causeless mercy, descends to be visible to the common man, similarly, the demigods also become visible to the common man by their own grace. Although celestial beings are not visible to the naked eyes of the inhabitants of this earth, it was due to the influence of Maharaj Parikshit that the demigods also agreed to be visible. The kings used to spend lavishly during such sacrifices, as a cloud distributes rains. A cloud is nothing but another form of water, or, in other words, the waters of the earth transform into clouds. Similarly, the charity made by the kings in such sacrifices are but another form of the taxes collected from the citizens. But as the rains fall down very lavishly and appear to be more than necessary, the charity made by such kings also seems to be more than what the citizens need. Satisfied citizens will never organize agitation against the king, and thus there was no need in changing the monarchical state. Even for a king like Maharaj Parikshit, there was a need of a spiritual master for guidance. Without such guidance, one cannot make progress in spiritual life. The spiritual master must be bona fide, and one who wants to have self-realization must approach and take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master to achieve real success. Srila Prabhupada Ki. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Salakayam Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Nama Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Miti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Before I start, I would like to seek the blessings of all the Vaishnavas present here in the temple room and those which are online. Please accept my humble obeisances. Vanchakalpa turupyascha kripa sindhu bhyevacha patitanam pavinevihyo vaishnavibhyo namo namaha. Anantakoti Vaishnavrindaki. So yeah, Hare Krishna. Thank you again for the opportunity to speak something on Srimad Bhagavatam. When I was reading this verse, there was some kind of interesting points mentioned in the translation. And these points will be our guidelines for today's class. And there are 5 of them in total, and I'm going to not be so elaborate on so many of them, but a few of them I would like to discuss. And these points are actually, for those who have your phones in front of you or tablets, you can actually see these points very nicely in the translation. The point number 1, which I would like to discuss is, and you can tell me who this is. I tried to kind of find what is the guidance, who was the guidance in this specific call, in this specific sacrifice. And you can answer that very easily. Who was the spiritual master here is referred to? Kripacharya. The Sanskrit term or his name was Saradvatam. And a very interesting thing that He was Kripacharya, but same time Prabhupada in his purport speaks about the importance of the great leader and the strength of Maharaj Parikshit. So we can ask ourselves a question, what kind of a qualifications we have to see the Lord? What kind of a qualifications do we have? Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Shri Shri Gornitai ki, jai. So Srila Prabhupada in a class, transcribed class on Prabhupada Vani, he very nicely speaks about what is actually our qualification to see God. People many times, they say, okay, I want to see God. And Prabhupada asks or rebukes, what is your qualification to see God? Even in today's day and age, if you desire to see a queen, you can't, because we don't have that qualification. You need to have high position, or you need to have really, you need to have some kind of a strength, whatever form or shape it takes. Therefore, our only qualification is actually guidance. So in this way, we can see Maharaj Parikshit took the guidance of Kripacharya. That was his true qualification to see the demigods in all humility. So in the same way, what is actually our qualification to practice yoga, bhakti yoga, to connect with the Lord through bhakti? Whenever we offer bhoga to the Lord, whenever we perform some activities, what is our connection point to the Lord? He's always a guru, right? Whatever you do, you always pay your respectful obeisances to your spiritual master first. And there's a science behind it. And that science actually indicates that we are not in a position to directly approach the Lord. And as simple as that. Very, very easy kind of a scientific way to understand that there always need to be a medium between us and the source, between us and the Supreme Lord. So on the basis of these two personalities, Kripacharya and Maharaj Parikshit, they've been so powerful that based on their influence, their shakti, their renunciation, their bhakti, their understanding, we could, in this specific connotation, we could see demigods. Just like Krishna was presiding on the Ashwamedha sacrifice of Maharaj Yudhishthira. And again, not everyone could perceive Krishna as the Supreme. Same way we can understand that based on these two personalities, by their intelligence and by their distinction, they selected someone to kind of oversee the sacrifice. Therefore, of these personalities, the sacrifice is either successful or no. So, because Krishna was presiding over the sacrifice, Ashwamedha Yajna of Maharaj Yudhishthira, it was successful. And this time also, it was successful. Because Kripacharya and Maharaj Parikshit were very qualified personalities. So, when we chant this very powerful prayer, Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshuru Umilitamena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. And the translation is, I offer my respectful obeisances unto my spiritual master, who has opened my eyes, which are blinded by the darkness of ignorance, with the torchlight of knowledge. So it's a very wonderful prayer. And we always understand that He is our connection to the Divine. And thanks to the mercy of a spiritual master, the state of being blind is actually diminished. The one who is blind will see. The layman can, you know, cross mountains. A dumb person like me can, you know, speak something of Bhagavatam or of knowledge, of wisdom. So this is interesting that always we never take kind of a for granted our own ability. Whatever ability we have, we always fall short. But our connection point is our spiritual master. Therefore, the first point which I wanted to discuss from this was the guidance. And the selected guidance was Kripacharya and Maharaj Parikshit. There's another verse from the Bhagavad Gita 9.2. Rajavidya Rajaguhyam Pavitramidam Uttamam Pratyakshavagamam Dharmam Susukam Kartam Avyayam. It speaks that this knowledge is the highest of all educations, is the topmost secret, and it's truly revealed, and it gives perception of the self by realization. So thanks to this knowledge, you can actually truly see who you are, and you can see things as they are. There's one very nice pastime which I heard was that it was about Albert Einstein when he was young. And he was in a kind of like a physical, like he was in a discussion with his teacher. And the statement that Albert Einstein made was that cold doesn't exist. I know we are cold now a bit because, you know, the heating doesn't really work properly, at least, you know, certain parts of the manna. But Albert Einstein made a statement that coldness doesn't really exist. It's just lacking of heat. And same thing can be applied into immorality or being negative or being pessimist or being in general a bad person. As such, nothing like being bad doesn't exist. It just means lacking of goodness. So in this connection, the highest knowledge is to understand that you can actually perceive the self. The self is eternally present there, but is not revealed because of lacking of that true Raja Vidya, lacking of transcendental knowledge. So the more transcendental knowledge you have, the more realizations you have, the more you actually see things in true color. So this is in connection that this highest knowledge, king of education, always needs to be connected with the right source. And there's another few points that it's everlasting and it's joyfully performed. So the moment you start practicing devotional service under guidance of a spiritual master, one of the aspects is being joyful. So if you are joyful, something's happening properly. If you're not joyful, go on, just keep on continue going. Another point which I would like to discuss is, even you can see in this translation, the activity which was performed. Can anyone tell me what was the yagya which was performed? Ashwamedha yagya. Does anyone know what Ashwamedha yagya means? Horse sacrifice. So sometimes I've done a bit of a research, and the knowledge which I took was from Atma Tattva Prabhu, his transcriptions on the topic of untold pastimes of Ramayana, and from portion of Balakanda of Ramayana. So when we speak about Ashwamedha Yagya, the only thing which comes out, yes, it's a horse sacrifice. So today I would like to somehow try to elaborate, and just for your information, for your knowledge, what is actually the intricacies of Ashwamedha Yagya. Can anyone tell me any personalities or kings which actually performed Ashwamedha Yagya? Yudhishthira Maharaj, correct? Lord Ramachandra, correct? Maharaj Prithu, correct? Ambarish Maharaj, Indra, right? That's how he received his position, Ashwamedha Yagya. So many times throughout the pages of Bhagavatam, many different saintly kings, Raja, Rishis, they perform Ashwamedha Yagyas. So, but what it actually means? What are the intricacies of Ashwamedha Yagya? So today, I would like to slightly discuss this topic, just so you know for the future what actually Ashwamedha Yagya is. And the pastime which I would like to elaborate on is from the King Dasharath. As we know, King Dasharath is the father of four personalities. He's not only father of Lord Ramachandra. What are the other brothers of Lakshman, Bharata, and Shatrughna? Exactly. So there is another personality who's sitting here in the audience. He bears the same name, and that is Vashishtha. Vashishtha Muni was actually the one who was overseeing the Ashwamedha Yagya of King Dasharath. So there are a few intricacies, and first of them, there are actually three sequences of the Ashwamedha Yagya. And when Prabhupada is saying that Ashwamedha Yagya takes a lot of efforts, wealth, and really a focus, he's not lying in this point. So I've done research, and I would like to share a few points. So first part of the Ashwamedha Yagya is to selecting a horse, the Ashwa, right? And it is mentioned in the Karma Kanda section that Ashwamedha Yagya means that you have to select a horse with a certain lakshanas, which means indications or qualities. The ears have to be a certain way. The nose have to be a certain way. There has to be a black part behind the tail. The hooves have to be a certain shape. 35 degrees bent. There is a whole description in the Karma Kanda section. So you have to find out that horse. And after finding it, you have to tie a golden leaf on his head. There will be written on this leaf, "This horse belongs to King Dasharath. He will perform Ashwamedha Yajna." So everyone should donate liberally. And whoever stops this horse will have to meet the army of King Dasharath. So what do? You, as you mentioned, you put the golden leaf on the head of the horse and let him go. And 100 meters behind this horse is a massive army. So it is actually considered that whatever this horse trespasses, the horse is directly connected to the Paramatma. And he says that he takes in such a position that he guides the army through the whole planet, through the whole globe. And whenever region this horse trespasses, the king occupying that land has to make a choice. Either I will kind of say, yes, I submit myself to the rule of king who's performing the Ashwamedha Yajna, or I will challenge his claim. And the duty of the army is to always kind of make sure that the horse is safe. There are certain personalities in the past which always obstructed this Ashwamedha Yajna. One in specific, Indra. So Indra was slightly mischievous in this wave of when someone else is performing Ashwamedha Yajna. Because the power of the Ashwamedha Yajna is that if you perform enough of them, you can get to the to the celestial region, and you may become Indra yourself. Therefore, someone like Indra has such a big position, he's always afraid to lose it. So therefore, many different instances, many different pastimes, he was actually stealing the sacrificial horse. And once he was in a very, very in a very close proximity, facing death. I think it was in the sons of Maharaj Prithu, right? In Maharaj Prithu, he said to his sons, "Go and bring me the mischievous person who was acting like a brahmana, and he stole the horse." So this is the first part of the Ashwamedha Yajna. In the meantime, what happens? A great Yajnakund is created, or a great place of sacrificial arena is erected. And in that place, continuously you just perform sacrifice. You're pouring ghee and different paraphernalia, and you're always pouring fruits, even gold, jewels, grains, whatever is required in a specific time, place, and circumstances. I don't know all the ins and outs of what kind of offerings are used. There's this interesting part. Obviously, when you start this Yajnakund, you always have to invite brahmanas, you invite also kshatriyas, even common people, you invite them. And why do you invite them? For blessings. Because these even common people in those days have a lot of shakti, a lot of purity. What was considered in the times, bygone times, to be a shudra is actually high elevated personality. Same thing with Vaishya, obviously with kshatriya and brahmanas. So there's one very interesting thing mentioned. Then Vasishtha addressed senior practitioners of sacrificial rites and their assistants, skilled architects, senior brahmanas fixed in the practice of topmost religious duties, stonemasons, carpenters, excavators, astrologers, artisans, as well as dancers, actors, scholars of the holy scriptures, and highly learned persons. By the order of the king, arrange the sacrificial ceremony quickly, bring thousands of bricks, build palaces for the royalty, along with all the subsequent requisite paraphernalia. Build hundreds of good, sturdy houses supplied with all kinds of palatable food and drink for the brahmanas. You must also construct comfortable houses for the townspeople and palatial residence for the royal guests who will come from many distant places. Construct stables for horses and elephants, hospices for the common people, and spacious barracks for the foreign soldiers. Supply the residents with abundant amounts of food and other desirable. In the same way, let the townspeople and common folk be supplied good quality food in accordance with spiritual rule, not whimsically. Thus, let all the caste be respectfully honored. Never do anything disrespectful out of lust or anger. Similarly, special respect should be offered to those who are busily engaged in the actual activities of the sacrifice. Let all of them be properly honored with wealth and food, that everything be properly done and nothing be overlooked. So can you imagine? It's not like these days when we ask maybe one or two brahmanas to do a yajna, right? sit down, you know, start a fire, put some apples, bananas, and some rice inside. Obviously, there's a place for it as well. In those times, to do an Ashwamedha Yajna means build a city. Create a city. Create homes, stables, hospices, palaces. Make sure there's plenty of water, plenty of food, all the necessary paraphernalia. Make sure there's plenty of ghee, jewels. Everything needs to be present. Why? If someone is not satisfied, there will be a consequence on the yajna. Therefore, that's why Prabhupada is mentioning, if someone wants to do an Ashwamedha yajna, you need to have a lot of wealth. You need to have a lot of money to do such a elaborate sacrifice. So it's not only, you know, throw something in a fire. No, it requires a lot of wealth to actually perform something like that. Further on, in Ramayana is described that if you invite demigods to the sacrifice like this, you really have to give them something special. And I'll ask you now, what is that something special? What is that that the demigods just more than anything like to drink? Somaras. So there was a process in the, again in the Balakanda of the Ramayana described how actually the somaras, it's churned. It takes 3 days. It takes 3 days to actually churn a somaras. And there are different, there's different process in every single day. And on the third day, you will get the soma juice. And the juice, you first, you offer it to Indra. You offer it in the morning, then you offer it in the midday, and then you offer it in the evening. So all of these elaborate things need to be very much considered if you want to do Ashwamedha Yajna. So 3 parts. Releasing the horse, creating a yajna or sacrificial arena, and same time churning the soma ras. Same time when the horse stopped running around the planet and all the kings and kingdoms are subdued underneath the one ruler, the horse is taken to the sacrificial arena. In that sacrificial arena, the horse, as bad as it may sound, is sacrificed, is killed. Not like in a butchery way that there's a lot of blood or everything, no. Actually, they said if blood is spilled in a sacrificial arena, it's spoiled. Right? So, who mentioned to me, it was one very interesting point yesterday. Was it you, Krishna Prabhu? Someone mentioned to me that when Shishupal was it Srinivas Prabhu, I think, yeah? When Shishupal Prabhu was offending Krishna 100 times, I think he referred to Gopal Champu. Gopal Champu, yes. To Gopal Champu, that it was not that 100 times he offended Krishna. It was that on the 100th time he offended Yudhishthira Maharaj. And I think this is a very interesting point. And then Krishna straight away he took Sudarshan and chopped off the head of Shishupal. Correct? Srinivas Prabhu. And one interesting point, which again Srinivas Prabhu revealed to me, was that there was no blood. When Shishupal's head was cut off, there was no blood. So nothing was spoiled. The Ashwamedha Yajna was not spoiled. The offender was killed, but without any kind of consequences on the Ashwamedha Yajna. Therefore, same thing here. The horse is not killed by some butchery knife or something like that. He's killed by mantras. That's the first mantra. The first mantra, he's offered to the sacrificial fire. Second mantra, his body is rejuvenated. So there are 2 mantras present in the Ashwamedha Yajna. And then obviously there are another, the yajna is still continuing. So this is the significance. But I would like to put this Ashwamedha Yajna into, I would like to compare it into modern day and age, right? It is said that in a Brahma Vaivarta Purana, there is following verse in terms of why we shouldn't do these yajnas, not even try to do these yajnas. Ashwanemedam gavalabham sanyasam palapaitrikam tavarena sutopatim kalo pancha vivarjayet. In the age of Kali, 5 acts are forbidden. The offering of a horse in sacrifice, the offering of a cow in sacrifice, the acceptance of an order of sannyas, the offering of flesh to the forefathers, and a man's begetting children in his brother's wife. Reference Brahma Vaivarta Purana, Krishna Janmakanda, 185.180. So in the Kali Yuga, the offering of a cow and horse of sacrifice is actually very much forbidden. And that's the reason why Buddha came. In those times, they think already in the presence of age of Kali, the king's still been thinking that I can offer a cow or a horse or a different animal in sacrifice. And the meat coming from this animal is prasadam. So they've been taking meat and thinking, well, this is God, Lord's mercy. But the thing is, the brahmanas were not qualified. They couldn't kill actually the animal with the mantra. They've been reciting, but nothing really happened. Therefore, they start taking butchery knives and start killing them like that. And so, still prasadam. No, that's why Buddha came, to actually stop this nonsense killing. And then he established the ahimsa. And as we know, the Kartik month is coming. And again, I would like to put this Ashwamedha Yajna, what we actually can truly gain in this age of Kali. Because of the Kartik month is the best of all, it is very dear to Vaishnava always. Anybody who burns a lamp or helps others to burn a lamp in the month of Kartik achieves the same results as performing a Rajasya sacrifice and a horse sacrifice. So don't worry. You don't need to get horses, you don't need to get soldiers, you don't need to get armies, massive wealth, hundreds and thousands of qualified brahmanas. You don't need to build towns and villages around the Yajnakund. All you need to do, make sure you have a ghee lamp and offer it nicely to the Lord. And all the benedictions and blessings of Ashwamedha Yajna will be upon you, 100%. Another point. This is from Sanatana Goswami Hari Bhakti Vilas, introduction to the book. Another one, right? We try to study Bhagavatam. A person who hears Srimad Bhagavatam day and night and understands the meaning becomes free from the sins committed in millions of lives. There is no doubt about this. The person who daily recites even one half or one fourth of a verse of Srimad Bhagavatam gets a benefit of performing the Rajasya sacrifice. This is what you get by reading Bhagavatam. You see, one can actually ask a question. Why these royalty been doing such a lavish sacrifices when they could study Bhagavatam? Time, place and circumstances. It was in their power, they could do it, therefore they did it. One can ask why King Dasharath, to have a pious son, should perform such a sacrifice. Right? He was inviting all these demigods, and then when he's satisfied, then he said, okay, can you give me blessings? So the thing is, these blessings are always, they always have some spiritual connotation. Just to have a son, it was not meant just a normal son, but just to have a very elevated, great personality as a son. And Vasishtha Muni and different brahmanas, they give their blessings. You will not get one son, you get four sons. And all of these will be supreme sons. That's why Lord Ramachandra, Lakshman, Shatrughna and Bharat came and manifest and performed their leelas. So this is the importance of sacrifice. But today's day and age, our sacrifice is Harinam Sankirtan. We'll come to that later. So we discussed the guidance, we discussed the activity, and the third point which is mentioned in this translation is location. What was the location that the yajna was performed? Those who you remember. It's on the board. You can find kanjis. Why there is importance of these dhams? Dhritarashtra uvacha dharmakshetre kurukshetre sama veta yujutsava mamaka pandavashchaiva kyam kurvata sanjaya. It is said, dharmakshetre kurukshetre. So all these places, these kshetras, they hold a lot of piety and spiritual significance within them. Therefore, if you want to perform such a big sacrifice like either Ashwamedha Yajna, what do you have to do? You have to bring all the odds on your side. So literally, whatever you can do, Just try to accumulate it. Whatever piety, whatever blessings, whatever you can get to get the yagya in the correct way. Therefore, you utilize these dharma kshetras. O Sanjaya, after my sons and the sons of Pandu assembled at the place of pilgrimage, that's why Ganges are very important, Yamunas, you know, Vrindavan. It is actually said that the Dasharath's Ashwamedha Yajna was performed at one river. But there was also mention of Naimisharanya, forest of Naimisharanya. So even in those bygone ages of when Lord Ramachandra was present, already the kshetra of Naimisharanya was having some significance. So that was the third point, location. Fourth point from the translation is Dakshina. Radha Govinda Prabhu was very elaborately speaking about how to give rewards and how to kind of give benedictions, either spiritual or material benedictions, to those you want to satisfy. So for the sacrifice to be complete, one has to distribute and give in charity something which is befitting your occupation and your duty. So whatever yagya you perform, you always satisfy those which are above you. Also those which are underneath you, even those equals. Why? Because they can deliver blessings according to their occupation, dharma and guna. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Shri Shri Gornitai ki. Therefore, dakshina in the ancient past is very important. Even today's present day and age, donations are very important. For those who've been doing book distribution or sankirtan, actually, all these instances are always kind of a present there. Location, and I think I would like to go to it later on in the conclusion of our class. But when someone gives dakshina, he can actually advance in his spiritual life, because it's not only dakshina he's giving, some material dakshina, but what he's actually giving is fruits of his endeavor. Therefore, what you do, you're helping others to purify their income or purify themselves by giving it to the righteous cause. The fifth point is the result of the yagya. It is mentioned in the purport that even common men could see demigods. Even common people can see demigods. Therefore, Prabhupada in his class is mentioning this verse, Yanti deva vrata devan pitrin yanti pitri vrata. I usually forget the other half of the verse. Bhutani yanti bhuteja yanti mat yajino pimam. If you want to worship the demigods, you can go to demigods. If you want to worship ancestors, you can go onto planet of ancestors. If you desire to worship Bhutas, by all means, you can worship spirits. But those who worship me, they can come to me. Therefore, even if the goal of the yagya is important to understand what is the goal of the yagya. So the goal of the yagya is ultimately always to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the medium of the demigods. It was Maharaj Prithu, as far as I know, that he was performing all of these sacrifices to please the demigods. But Prabhupada gives one a very interesting purport. He said that the meditation of Maharaj Prithu when he was trying to satisfy the demigods was not that I want to have opulence in my kingdom, but it was, I understand that these demigods are parts and parcels of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They are the mechanical ruling body of the cosmos. Therefore, I want to satisfy the Supreme Lord through satisfying them, because they kind of observe or maintain this universe. Therefore, his meditation was beyond just demigod worship. It was actually Supreme Lord worship through the medium of the demigods. So now I would like to ask you, we discussed these 5 points, and I will kind of recap them, do a quick recap. First point was the kripacharya of this verse, was the guidance. Second point was the activity in itself. Third point was location on the banks of Ganges. Fourth point was the result of the activity. And the fifth point was dakshina. So let me ask you now how to actually take these 5 points and put it in today's day and age in our Harinam Sankirtan Yagya. Right, so we can maybe churn this a bit. So who is our guidance in the performance of Harinam Sankirtan? Srila Prabhupada ki. Srila Prabhupada is our Acharya, and he always is instructed based on the instructions of the senior Acharyas, on the previous Acharyas. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, Gaurakishwadas Babaji, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj. So there is a guidance. Do this, do that, perform it in such a way, therefore you are sheltered by the guidance of the superiors. Activity, I don't think I need to kind of elaborate on. What is the activity that we have to do? Harinam Sankirtan. So Harinam Sankirtan in our connotation is obviously chanting the holy name. It means distributing transcendental literature. It means distributing prasadam. And also it means to be a Vaishnava. Harinam Sankirtan doesn't always come from our mouth, doesn't always come from our hands, but comes also through the way we carry ourselves, the way we practice Krishna consciousness. Because more than anything, people are actually attracted to you. If you present book, you come to someone on book distribution and say, bro, you should take this book, it's pretty far out. This Bhagavad Gita is next level. But if you are a not very polite person, they won't be attracted at all. Because people are not on such a level that they are attracted to the philosophy, not always. But people are attracted to what they can perceive. And if you speak like a ruffian, if you behave like a ruffian, you are the result of this literature. Why should I take it? I don't want to be like you. Give me something who's better, you know? Therefore, activity needs to be there. Activity needs to also take shape in our, in the way that we perform. The third place or third point was location. What is the location of Harinam Sankirtan? Anywhere and everywhere, exactly. Abhay said, Watford High Street. We are not limited only to Watford. Harinam Sankirtan is unlimited. Therefore, any time, any town and village. That's the location of Harinam Sankirtan. You don't need to select Kurukshetra or Purushottam Kshetra. You don't need to be only in Vrindavan or in Mayapur. You don't need to be on the banks of Ganges or banks of Yamuna to the Yagya to be successful. And this is the difference between Harinam Sankirtan and other Yagyas. That for other Yagyas to be successful, they need to be done in a very specific location. But Harinam Sankirtan Yagya could be done anywhere, anytime. Right? That's the beauty of this sacrifice. Therefore, location has no boundaries. Dakshina, donations. Obviously, our meditation is that it's not for our benefit, the dakshina they give, it's for their benefit. So, the goal of dakshina is that specifically for Vaishyas, when they give, and Kshatriyas, when they give donations, what happens is because their income, specifically with Vaishyas, their income may not be always 100% pure. And that is reality. Sometimes you may say, well, because you're my friend, I'll give you for this price. Just because of you, only for you. And Prabhupada was saying the same thing. Only because you, I will give you this price, but the price is still double the normal price. So basically, sometimes, you know, Vaishyas, they have to do these tricks. But when they receive the money, when they give dakshina, they actually purify their income. Therefore, it's for their benefit. So whatever these saintly kings been performing or giving in charity, Prabhupada says this like a cloud giving a rain to anyone and everyone. They collect taxes, but they give them back in the end. In the modern society, we can see that they collect taxes, they give back, they have to give back, but something that goes into my pocket as well. Therefore, this is not the Vedic way. So dakshina is for the beneficiary, it's actually beneficiary for the one who gives the dakshina. So in our Harinam Sankirtan performance, Whoever gives dakshina to us, they're actually making great benefit in their life. Sometimes I say, like, when I distribute books, okay, you don't want to take the book, but just give something. At least give a contribution, whatever you can. Sometimes they give, you know, £1, £2. Sometimes they give you 20p, you know. I mean, but still they will do some, there will still some benefit will be there. So whatever people can give, it's for their eternal benefit. And ultimately, what's the result? The result of Harinam Sankirtan is Prema Bhakti, devotional service. Devotional service breeds devotional service. So our result is same time our goal. Our goal is same time our activity. Right? And think about it for a moment. We don't do Harinam Sankirtan only for that Prema Bhakti, but we perform it for the joy of the activity on its own. Does it make sense? So, the benediction of the Supreme Lord is that if you perform your duties correctly, what will happen is you will get more services. So for those of you who have a lot of services, feel blessed. You're doing something correctly. You're doing something properly. So this is what devotional service is doing. Devotional service brings more devotional service. So just a quick recap from the... So we kind of found and located 5 points. Again, the guidance, activity, location, result, and the dakshina. These were the 5 points of this verse. And I will end up here. If there are any questions, comments, Gaur Krishna Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, I just wondered, is there a difference between the Rajasuya sacrifice and the Ashwamedha sacrifice?
I don't want to speculate, I don't know.
Because Yudhisthira performed Rajasuya, so that's when Shishupal was beheaded.
Is it that Rajasuya sacrifice is when you putting on a throne a new ruler? No? Like when Yudhisthira Maharaj was want to be coronated, the Rajasuya sacrifice was performed. So that sacrifice was specifically about on enthroning a new ruler of the world. But that Rajasuya sacrifice was a second stage after the Ashwamedha sacrifice. Because first he established himself as a king, not being opposed by anyone. And then when that was official, then he performed the Rajasuya sacrifice. Any other points, questions?
Thank you for the class, Prabhu. Thank you for the insight as well as to how horse sacrifices work. I was always quite perplexed about why someone would need so much wealth. You know, you just think, just buy a slab or something and then just, you know, it's not, shouldn't really take much. But so I was wondering, like, it seems so complex. So how long did it take to perform these kind of sacrifices, like the horse sacrifice? If the horse has to go around to all these kingdoms in the world, it must take quite a while, no?
It took years. It took literally years. Yeah, there was some sequence when Vasishtha Muni was saying that first there was instruction from King Dasharath, and then after 1 year of just preparation, they actually started the sacrifice. And then again, when they set the horse, it took another year when they kind of conquered all the kingdoms. So after that 1 year, even during the duration of the 1 year, they've been performing the fire sacrifices. So it takes a few years to actually even perform it. Sankirtan Priya Prabhu, and then Rasaraj Krishna Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for a nice class. I've got a comment from online, from His Grace Nikhil Prabhu.
Nikhil Prabhu, Hare Krishna.
He says, today's verse says that the demigods were present at these big sacrifices. But the Sankirtan Yajna is superior because the Supreme Lord and the whole Vaishnava Parampara are present. Mm. This is explained by His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami as follows. Prabhupada said that when a devotee goes out and preaches, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is present. And he watches. Just like if we watch a drama, and as that audience, we sit there and we appreciate when the actors perform very nicely, and when the dancers dance very nicely. In the same way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is sitting as the audience, and he's watching when we go out and preach. We should actually think that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the whole disciplic succession are sitting as an audience, and they are simply watching, as we should then go out with that mood.
Nice. Thank you, Nikhil.
It was more of a comment than a question.
It was a comment, definitely a comment.
But,
thank you for that.
Yeah, he's actually talking about that yajna and how the Supreme Personality of Godhead and all the parampara lineage comes with us during Sankirtan.
There's one thing which I would like to share. It's from a book called Sri Namashtaka by Srila Rupa Goswami, and with the commentaries of Baladevi Debhushan and paraphrasing an explanation of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So this is to the text 6, and it's about glorification of the holy name. It is said, O holy name, two forms of you distinguish as the verbally expressible and the verbal expression are manifest. Still, we know for certain that the form of the verbal expression is more compassionate than the form of the verbally expressible, because even if a living entity is an offender unto your form of the verbally expressible by worshipping you, by uttering the form of the verbally expressed, he becomes completely immersed in the ocean of spiritual bliss. Simplified, the holy name is more powerful than Krishna. Krishna's name are more powerful than Krishna as a person. Then you can say there are no differences. But the mantra, the sound vibration, because Krishna invests all his shakti and all his energy, are more powerful. Therefore, chanting of the Hare Krishna is very, very powerful. Rasaraj Krishna Prabhu had a question.
Thank you. Thank you for the class, Prabhu. You mentioned that there's 5 things that is not allowed in Kali Yuga.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is taking sannyas.
Yeah, I was waiting. I was going to ask about that. I don't actually know. I think, you know, senior Vaishnavas may answer. Go, Krishna Prabhu.
Well, if you look on the Sannyas Ministry website, at least there used to be an article by Bhakti Rasamrita Swami, which addressed this point, and basically is saying that it's the traditional form of sannyas that was forbidden, that it was just like a formality.
Mm.
But sannyas is not forbidden for the sake of preaching here. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, you know, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Srila Prabhupada. So, for the sake of chanting, for the sake of preaching, it's allowed. But not just for the sake, just you know, part of Varnashram, you know.
Yeah, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj gives complete kind of a understanding what is a traditional sannyas in his Chaitanya Bhagavat. And one of the points is that obviously he has to be completely renounced, wear deer skin around his waist, kusha grass around his finger, not staying in the places for too long, not lighting fire, always beg, never use any way of transportation. So all of these are traditional sannyasis. And then when Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj actually, he started a revolution. Obviously, we start. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he followed that to a certain degree. Obviously, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nevertheless, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, he established and really created a structure on what does it mean to be a sannyasi. Because it was unheard of before, the way Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj kind of created this sannyas order. And we follow in the footsteps of Bhaktisiddhanta's establishment of sannyas. Thank you for that. Mothers, any points or questions or comments from your side? Okay.
I'm blind by the karma who is not giving you any opportunities. I'm
Oh, dog. Hare
Krishna. Perfect, thank you. So the question is that in your class, Prabhuji, you said a blind person can climb mountains and a deaf person can preach Srimad Bhagavatam by the blessings of the spiritual master. If we could elaborate on how a hearing impaired person can...
I mean, out of all the devotees, how can Doyal Gauranga ask such a question? Yeah. I saw him distributing books. I saw Doyal Gauranga Prabhu and the deaf community distributing books. And I was stunned. It was something amazing to watch, to observe. Deaf people, deaf devotees distributing books. How do you do that? Only by Kripa of Guru. So he's a living example of how this difficulty is actually a great inspiration to all of us, that there is no boundary and no limit to mercy of Lord Chaitanya. That whoever has some kind of a physical difficulty, nevertheless a Vaishnava, there is no obstacle. Therefore, I think Doyal Gauranga Prabhu is the living proof that how this can always happen. Yeah. How do you say it, brother? This means very nice to see you and Hare Krishna. Okay, and wait, I know one more. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada jai. And how was it? All glories. I can't remember. I can spell it. All glories to the assembled devotees. Haribo. Okay, any other points? Ben Prabhu?
Just quickly, you said that the holy name is more powerful than Krishna, and I heard that we can actually get more happiness than Krishna, so I was wondering if you could elaborate on that.
That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, no? Because he was perplexed by the mood and intense love of Srimati Radharani. He was like, how can you have so much love, so much bliss, so much ecstasy when you're serving me? I don't have so much ecstasy when I'm, you know, serving you. So how is that? That's why he took form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just to taste that bhakti of a devotee to the Supreme Lord. And he tasted it. And when you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, the things that he was performing was just unbelievable. Constantly crying, constantly in ecstasy, and just constantly remembering Lord, fainting, and really tasting the rasa of being a bhakta, rather than to be the receiver of the bhakti.
But do you think for us conditioned souls, it's possible just through the power of bhakti yoga and this process to actually even just go on the same level of happiness, just through how, you know?
That's the goal, no? Prema bhakti. That's the goal, to really kind of purify ourselves to such a degree that we can truly taste the mellow of devotional service inaugurated by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay, last one, and then we will finish. I know it's breakfast time.
You were speaking about taxes in Vedic times taxes now. So I just wanted to know the difference.
Taxes were not imposed back in those days that much, because the kings were kind of very sufficiently providing anything and everything for common people, because they've been performing the sacrifices. The earth was giving abundantly. There was no scarcity of gems, jewels, fruits, vegetables, ghee, cows, anything you desire you can have very easily. So you're just walking down the street and you find a, you know, ruby or a massive diamond on the street. It's a nap, you know? So, you know, I just go to a mine and I can find hundreds of these. So because the earth, the Bhumi, was satisfied with the rulership of the kings, she was giving constantly. Therefore, if you have so much, why do you need so much? If your consciousness is not consciousness of a person who wants to hoard things, therefore you give. Because king takes care of you nicely, you give nicely, no problem. in today's age, because there's scarcity and because there's also greed, two very kind of negative things, therefore you're hoarding. You don't want to give so easily. Therefore taxes are imposed. Try not to pay taxes, see what happens. You know? But in those days, they understood the protection was given to them nicely. Therefore they give nicely as well. All the Vaishya community, specifically Vaishyas and Kshatriyas. In this one pastime, that Kshatriyas give so much golden utensils that the Brahmana is like, I can't carry this. And they've just been chucking it away on the road. Everything was made of gold. So I can't carry this, too heavy, I don't need so much. Okay. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Gaura Premanande.